Hello everyone, welcome to the third episode, special Halloween episode of California Toge. We're here at top of Little Tujunga Canyon, where Little Tujunga meets with Sand Canyon, right at the top next to the fire station or ranger station or something. Basically, we can see Santa Clarita from here. So with me, I have tonight returning Phantom Bimmer, also with returning Pablo.
Yep.
And new guest tonight, can you introduce yourself?
Sloth.
What do you drive?
I drive a Nissan 300ZX from 86. Oh, it's a turbo.
Nice. I always gotta love those turbos. Anyway, so tonight's topic, we're here actually on Halloween night. It's getting kind of fogs rolling in. This moon is peeking through the clouds up top of us. And we can barely, if even, see the tops or tips of the mountains around us.
It's spooky.
Yeah, it's pretty spooky.
It's perfect for Halloween night.
Yeah.
Excellent. And also, by the way, viewers, I am wearing my Halloween costume, which is just a wizard's hat.
Anyway. I'm wearing mine too, but I got PJs over. It's a bit chilly up here with all the wind. And luckily, the wind just died down too.
Yes. Then with the wind dying down, we're finally able to start recording this. Because it's kind of late out, and we do have other visitors with us, although I do not know what they're doing or whatever. Anyway, as far as Little Tujunga goes, it's an excellent road, and the guys I have with me tonight are the first time coming up through this road. And this, to me, this is my personal Kina. Although I would not be, you know, the fastest. I'm pretty sure there's a guy faster than me up around here, upstairs too. But as far as first impressions, Phantom, what did you think of Little Tujunga?
Well, when we were first coming up from the freeway, what freeway is that?
The 210. Yes.
210. There we go. Coming up from the 210, kind of reminded me of a miniature Ortega in a sense, to where it kind of flowed like Ortega, but it was like a miniature scaled Ortega. So the radiuses of the corners and stuff were a lot smaller. It was a lot lower speed, but it had the flow. The same flow, the same rhythm, the same kind of just the way that you want to, the way that you drive that. Quickly changed, very quickly. And it started getting very technical very quickly. I kind of wasn't expecting it, but once I got thrown into it after the first corner or two, I was like, okay, it's gonna get, you know, shit's gonna get real quick. So coming up, it was definitely a lot more technical. I just chilled in third gear because I don't know the road and stuff. I didn't want to be jumping between second and third the entire time. I got bogged down in a few corners because I was in third gear.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, but I mean, all in all, it's really fun. Had a few kind of close calls, not really, but like just, you know, came into the corner overestimating a little bit. You know, always leave room for error.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what road you're driving, you always want to do that. So because of that, I was able to adjust, correct, and you know, continue on my way up the hill. I liked how kind of the elevation changes. Kind of once you start hitting the more technical part, it's all pretty steep uphill, and then it kind of flattens out and then kind of goes a little bit back downhill a little bit.
Yes,
and then it goes right back up, which I thought was really cool.
Yes, the road itself is kind of just like a racetrack through the mountains, honestly, because it goes up first and it goes flattens out, then it goes down, then it goes all the way back up. And the road itself is also kind of, I describe it as kind of bouncy.
Yeah.
Because the road itself is kind of uneven. And going through some of the hairpins, actually, it's just kind of, my car is like bouncing, like going a little bit, rolling a little bit left to rolling to the right, right after I exit each corner around certain sections, especially during the downhill after the one of those major hairpins. Oh, Pablo, this is your first time, but what do you think?
I definitely liked it. It definitely feels like a serious road because the mountain is right at the white lines at the edge of the road, right? Like, at one point we found a bunch of gravel and rocks. So you can definitely tell, like, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to be scraping up against the mountain. And like you were saying, it pretty much follows the outline of the mountain. Like, you're pretty much driving on it without the road itself. It follows everything. One of the things I really did like were the elevation changes, and also at some points you get, you know, a view down towards San Fernando Valley, and then, you know, once you get to the top, you have the view of Santa Clarita. I just cruised it because I'm in, you know, the Crown of Victoria, but it's definitely one of those types of roads that you can, you know, it would probably be more fun to drive during the day when you have more visibility, especially, you know, if you're new to the road.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I really liked is, you know, there are some serpents, like, you know, just going back and forth that you can, you know, drive along the double yellows even though you're not supposed to cross, right? And those are actually pretty fun. All in all, it's like is a very enjoyable road to go up on, and I'm pretty sure it'll be really interesting going downhill because it's like a 6 or 7% grade, right?
Yeah, Little Tujunga, it does get a little steep at some parts, but it's nowhere near as steep as actually Sand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like gravity falling down, pulling out down on you.
Right, don't be right. Telling me that.
You get an extra 50 horsepower because of the gravity.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
One thing I do want to also mention about this road is that I really like how it's very unique the entire way through.
Mm-hmm.
There's no really two corners that are the same.
Yeah.
Unlike certain roads that just feels like you're doing the exact same thing time and time and time again.
Yeah.
This is a lot more, it's technical, but it's also not boring.
This is a track that you're working with whatever nature left behind, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's kind of the way that the pioneers carved it.
Well, Sloth, this is actually your second time, and this time you didn't drive up here, but what are your thoughts on the road? Because you've been up here before in your Z.
Right. First time around, I really enjoyed it. There's a lot of elevation change, and I think that is probably the most fun thing about it.
There are a couple, like, crazy crests where you don't really know what's on the other side, so you kind of just have to go for it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, with definitely the elevation change, especially since some corners kind of just have a steep elevation right after corner.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just, you have to power through them and like do a very good exit through those corners, especially right. Those steep hills.
Oh, yeah. Some of them you definitely have to power through, especially on the uphill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're coming up, you really have to bury the pedal.
See, I was pretty lucky because I got to follow Sonic up.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really have to deal with any of the guessing
over
the hills or anything. It was just kind of, I was following his line and kind of just giving him a little bit of room to just, you know, do him.
How many times have you done this road?
I say about right now, probably about a dozen times or so.
Mm-hmm.
I only found this road, you know, a couple months back. And that's when it was actually still closed down. And I guess that's because the county was still repairing it from the 2016 Sand Canyon fire that happened here last year. Yes, at the top here, we are actually sitting in a spot that actually was completely on fire.
Huh.
And if you do come up here now, you do see, well, at least during the day, you'll be able to see actually some of the trees burnt down, but you just as be able to see no green growing back up.
Oh, that's right. I do remember seeing a lot of charred remains during the day. That was interesting.
Yeah. And I'll admit, I did cruise through here when it was technically closed, but, you know, I'm not the only one. Everyone did it.
Yeah.
It didn't really block off the road. It just says road closed.
And a little sign on the side of the road.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
You know what they say. It's only illegal if they catch you.
Yeah, exactly.
They popped in to see me. I didn't do it.
Exactly.
I mean, the difference between when it was closed and right now when it's open, I definitely tell they added a few guardrails, which is nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of fresh guardrail.
Brand new guardrail, and already one of them has a pretty mean dent in it.
Yes, we found one near a hairpin, and that's pretty much it had a big dent on it, missing a couple blocks of wood.
Mm-hmm.
We also noticed, there are a few patches of road that have just been freshly paved.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when I came here, when it was closed, it was actually nothing but dirt and rocks and stuff around that area. So I was kind of impressed that they actually paved it within a couple months that I was scouting out this road.
Right.
However, I don't know what they've been doing for the past year and a half or so. So I don't know the...
Jerking off.
What they... You mean you don't know what they haven't been doing? Well, I mean, you know what they haven't been doing.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't been getting shit done. That's what they haven't been doing.
Exactly.
Well, you know, with the Los Angeles County, it takes them about, like, 2 or 3 years to rebuild, like, I don't know, 500 feet of road or something.
It's like any California government takes one worker with 15 supervisors watching.
It takes them a year to plan it out and 2 years of paperwork and then 5 years of actually doing something.
And 4 of those years are just, you know, safety, like, protocol and shit.
Training.
Yes. Training protocol that no one's going to follow.
Yeah.
If you have any idea how Los Angeles counts, let me give you an example. I live near Linkersham Boulevard, which is in North Hollywood. It goes through North Hollywood and I believe Studio City and Universal City. And the area near me, they have been working on that road. Basically, they're not actually working on the road. They're laying down new water pipes. And that construction site's been there for over 3 years. In fact, they did finish up a section about a year ago, and they didn't even repave the road correctly because it's already full potholes. No, that's just typical LA manner. But also another thing, a crazy thing, they also added a stop sign, but there's no four-way section. It's just a stop sign. You just stop, then you go forward again. And there's still a big lumbering sign that says brand new stop sign ahead, and that's been there for about a year and a half. That's
brand new a year and a half ago.
Yeah, brand new. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's probably going to cost more money to take it down than it was to put it up.
Yeah. The crazy thing, during rush hour, they usually actually have a parking enforcement officer guiding traffic to just tell people to go through the stop sign anyway. So,
wow. Why don't you just put a plastic bag over it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why even bother with the stop sign at all?
Well, we should go down there and save the city some money.
Yeah, we
can take it. Hey, man, they got to find a way to spend that taxpayer dollar.
I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, we could spend $5,000 to get 15 people to go take down one stop sign, or we can just get a tow hitch and, like, you know, have a little bit of fun. I heard that the Crown Vic likes to do some mean burnouts.
I would, yeah.
I bet the stop sign would be no match for it.
Nothing against a 4.6. What's it called?
No one else, though, dude. That stop sign would go right through your back.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, yeah. One of the things that you remind me when you were mentioning North Hollywood is Mulholland Drive, not Mulholland...
Highway.
Highway. I remember, you know, a while back when I was, you know, still doing Uber, and it was like in a Honda Pilot or something, but I drove Mulholland Drive, and it was like at 2 o'clock at night, and it's, you know, at the time where, like, you know, it's just nothing there, and it's... You know, it's one of those roads where, like, you know, people are always driving on it, but they don't appreciate the fact that it's just such a really nice, like, enjoyable road. It's not very technical. It's very wide. And maybe that's the thing. Like, it's a very comfortable road to drive, like, you know, at a moderate speed, right?
Yeah.
And have you ever done anything on Mulholland Drive?
Yeah. I actually did a article about it.
Right. Yeah.
A couple, like, weeks back.
You know, what was your experience with driving on it?
Well, the thing is with Mulholland Drive is that it's... is that the...
That's the Elise.
That's the
Elise. Yeah, there's a Lotus Elise, like, right next to us.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, sucks.
It's so small.
Like, when it was coming up...
I'd let it fuck me in the ass.
When it was coming up, we thought it was a G35 from its headlights, and then when it passed, we see the taillights, and like, oh, there's only one car that has those types of taillights.
Yeah.
And it's the Lotus Elise.
Yeah, you just kind of just... been chilling out here now, I guess, as heading out. Anyway, Mulholland Drive. It's a mean the road itself, I think it would be a fun, fantastic road if it just simply did not have other drivers on it.
Yeah. Well, you can see that for almost every road.
Well, I mean, yeah. Every
Let's
other
be honest here.
Every other toge I experienced, no other drivers, no Ace Angeles Crest Highway or GMR, at least it's like sparingly. There's like another driver maybe once every minute or something,
right,
depending on the day, time of day or whatever. But Mulholland Drive, no matter what, there's always people on it, no matter what. And the thing is, you can't also push it either, because there's houses everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
If you, not only if you fall off a cliff, you're not killing yourself, you're probably killing some poor bastard that's below the cliff as well, just living.
You fly into their freaking swimming pool when they're skinny dipping at night or something.
See, that's why I don't like Mulholland Drive, is because the houses are literally on the road.
Yeah, it's...
Unlike, you know, another road... Which does have houses by the road, but it's, the difference is the driveways are by the road and the houses are way clear out of there, like
above the road.
Yeah, it's a bait for later, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's the same thing for that little Tonga. There's actually houses here or
near
estates.
Yeah, I noticed a few coming up, but I mean they're not really they're they're what I would say out of the danger zone.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Because they have like long driveways going actually to the house and stuff. So.
And this road is technical enough. You're going slow enough. You don't have enough momentum to fly into their living room.
Yeah, well, exactly. That too.
And if you happen to fly into them, there's plenty of trees and poles to stop you.
There's a lot of vegetation around here.
Yes. Despite the fire, there is, yes, a lot of vegetation. Though some of the trees did survive, and there's a lot of green growing back, which is no nice thing, so...
I mean, isn't that the thing? Like, forest fires are kind of a natural thing as well.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Exactly. Forest fires are a natural thing, so they clear out bad brushwood and new shit grows.
Yeah.
So the plan is to hit as many trees that look burnt as possible, because those are going to be the weak ones, right?
Yeah, that'll save tax dollars as well, and we have to clear those out as well.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
They don't have to pay for the poles to get replaced.
All right, well, let's go buy the $200 pickup off of Jose and take it through here and see how many trees we can take down before the truck stops.
Oh, man.
Now,
speaking of that, I've only been in one accident in my car. Pulled out at a stop sign. Wait. Let's see if this Elise is going to make some nice noises for us.
Oh, that thing looks so good.
I know.
So everyone, we're now watching Elise drive away, all staring at its sexy ass. It's pulling up to a stoplight right now. Ooh,
turn on the headlights.
No, he's going to go slow.
He's signaling. Oh, my God. No, I think he's just going to cruise.
He's going to go slow.
Yeah, he's just cruising.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, anyways, only accident I've ever been in. I was pulling out of the stop sign at my apartment complex, and to the left of the stop sign was where I got hit from. But there was a big, it said the apartment building name and stuff. Big old sign that blocked, being able to see anything in that direction.
Right.
And a lady came flying down the road, no lights, middle of the night. So I didn't see her. I pulled out, looked back again, saw her last second, slammed on my brakes. It was too late. She was on her phone. I couldn't prove it, though, but she was on her phone. She didn't try to swerve out of the way. She did literally nothing but went right into me, and she had more than enough time for reaction, so I was kind of a bit salty. But I really wanted to buy a $200 truck off of Jose and see how see how far through that sign I could get it. Because it is, that apartment actually, at least every 3 weeks, there was somebody that got hit at that stop sign.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was really bad. And they never did anything about it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. City for you.
Yeah, that's the city for you. That's pretty much any California city, honestly.
Keeps the body shops employed.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
I can tell you the shops down in that city definitely were making some good money.
Is that Mario coming? No, I don't think that's...
That's not loud enough.
Yeah, it's not loud enough.
That's an Econo box.
Did Mario finally get an Econo box?
No. Never.
No.
It's,
it's a Subi. Yeah, it's a
Subi. It looks like it's actually going on to the truck trail. Which is allegedly closed off limits, but I've seen multiple people go up there.
He at least went up there earlier, and then he came right back down.
Yeah.
Actually, that's one of the things I was thinking about earlier. Like, right now, right next to us, at the mouth of that, at that little dirt trail, there's this big old sign that says, stop, do not enter, not open for public use.
What's that one?
And then 350Z. Bottom,
350Z?
Yeah.
You can tell by the characters.
Like, the California vehicle code, numbers, who the heck... Who the heck cares about that? You don't have the freaking law book in your car. You're not going to pull it out. All right, what exactly am I breaking?
Well, here, let me skim through my fucking 15,000-page fucking California guide to all the rules, laws, and regulations.
Yeah.
On page 3,562, it says right here that I'm a dipshit.
And that's the thing is, you got to imagine the company who, made the sign for the state of California probably, charged them an extra, $2,000 just for that fourth line. Because it has weird symbols, right? You got the parentheses.
Yeah, dude,
the lowercase a.
It's what we call research and development.
You got to realize, it took, 50 men to develop those special characters for that specific line.
Dude, that's not a Subi, is it?
The
front end doesn't look like a Subi at all.
The outline looks like John's car.
Yeah, it does, but I don't know.
Ah, whatever.
Hey, dude, what do you own?
Anyway.
Anyway, so We're just done a little car spotting. We think it's a Subaru. I'm not exactly sure. We're also still waiting on one of our buddies, Mario, coming up with his V8 Firebird.
Red car.
It's the red one, yeah.
Fire chicken.
The big red one is Mario's.
Oh, I can do a burnout.
It can burn out one wheel.
Yeah, it can burn out one wheel. It can be really loud, which is fun, but it can't turn.
No.
And it's... What was it trying to...
With the driver mod, it really can't turn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's got another Firebird, and that one's trying to kill him with emissions. Like, apparently he's got a hole in the exhaust.
No, he doesn't have a hole in the exhaust.
It's running open
he
headers.
He doesn't have an exhaust.
Oh! There was one night we were going to Live Oak, and I caught up to him, you know, out of nowhere. You know, I catch up to him, and I just figured, like, that's probably, like, Mario, right? And then the emissions just hit me. I'm like, what the heck? Oh, I can't imagine how bad it is. Oh, and didn't he say like he felt like wheezy when he got to Live Oak or something?
Probably. He felt slightly lightheaded.
Lightheaded, there it was, yeah. So, that's who we're waiting for.
Yeah, waiting for the guy who gasses himself.
Yeah.
Probably gassed himself up here, went off the cliff.
Oh, people pay good money to do that. Oh, man.
Well... Also, another story happened on the way up here. Since it's Halloween, something unfortunately happened to Phantom. I think he wants to let it off his chest.
So, yeah, coming up here, we got to our meet point.
A small residential area, right?
Yeah,
there, right?
Yeah, it was a small little residential area. And,
oh, my God.
I went and stopped.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here we go. Here's Mario.
That's Mario.
It's missing a headlight, and it's... And you can hear it from a mile
If you
away.
Listen closely, you can hear that it's Mario. You can hear his deep breaths over the sound of the engine.
I'm just surprised he came from that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have come up from the 14, so up through Sand Canyon.
Yeah.
Which actually might be an easier drive to his Firebird anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's not that... Sand Canyon isn't as technical, at least going uphill. Going downhill is a completely different story with Sand Canyon. Anyway, Mario.
I think now is the time to, like, cut in the tape.
No, you can just jump right in.
Yeah.
Keep rolling.
So you're about to hear Phantom's story about Halloween.
Okay. So, like I was saying, I had a passenger with me, and we went and got ourselves some ramen in L.A. Mm-hmm. Get to the place... And, we're looking over the menu and another couple walks in and they're like, hey, can we get a table? And they're like, okay, wait's going to be about 45 minutes. I was like, fuck that. So we order our stuff to go. Comes out like literally within 10 minutes, if that. Came out real quick. It was Silver Lake Ramen, I believe is what it was called.
Oh, I heard that's a very famous place.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's really good. Not a big fan of the meat, the way that they serve the meat. But other than that, I mean, it was really freaking good. The broth was really
Phantom,
good.
Is this the same story that you told us, like down the hill? Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay.
So, yeah, so we got our ramen and stuff, and then we headed up to our meet point. We got there, what, like 30 minutes early or so?
Yeah.
A little bit more than 30 minutes early. So I was like, okay, throw on Google Maps, find a, you know, close park so we can go sit and eat. Go roll up to the park, and I roll my windows up, but I left my sunroof on BMWs. They can move, I'm sure on a lot of cars, they can, like, move forward.
Yeah, to where it's just... not a BMW thing.
Nobody asked you, Mario.
That's not special for BMW.
No, I know. It's on a bunch of cars, but so
it
I had
tilts
it...
tilts up, right?
Yeah, I had it tilted up. So I come back to my car, and I notice an eggshell on the top of my sunroof, and I'm like, what the fuck? So I look in the car, and there's egg all inside the car. Some jackasses thought it'd be a great idea to try and toss an egg through my open sunroof. So now my car stinks like egg, completely ruined my interior that I spent over 4 years trying to find and get my hands on. Finally got it, and yeah, within what? I haven't had the interior for more than 4 or 5 months, and it's already fucking ruined.
Fuck, man. That sucks.
Yeah. The egg got inside my hazard light, so I have to rip apart the whole console just to be able to clean it out. So, I mean, the whole center console. So, I mean, it's just, it was a bad experience.
Yep.
It just left a very sour taste in my mouth, especially for, you know, Halloween. But so remember, it is what
kids,
it is.
Yeah. How long ago was this?
What?
That was just a couple hours ago.
That was a few hours ago.
Oh.
And there was two groups that walked by, so I know it was one of them, but, you know.
So use toilet paper instead of eggs, so you don't fuck up some guy's, you know.
Or, car. Even better, just don't fuck with people's cars.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, well. That's just, like, the one thing that just peeves me is people who don't respect other people's cars or property, for that matter. Yeah. So Hippity-hoppity, get off my goddamn property.
Yeah, it's a very sacred thing to not mess with someone else's car, because that is their property. There is sometimes is their pride and joy, because some people do actually love their cars.
They actually like their cars. They actually like to drive it.
Yeah, I mean, I fuck my tailpipe all the time. I mean, I love my car.
And it's very unscrupulous just to do something of that nature.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, like, if you TP someone, at least you can clean it off. But egg, that can ruin someone's paint job, and that just gets stuck inside, like, every single crevice on the interior and whatever. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even think kids were actually egging still.
Yeah.
I thought it
still goes on.
Still goes on.
The thing is, like, my car was just sitting there it was just chilling by a park all alone, and there's no reason for anybody to mess with it.
Yeah.
Which is the, like, if you're going to go trick-or-treating and, you know, you go up to a house, you ring it, and they're like, oh, sorry, we don't have candy or we're not giving you candy, fucking egg the shit out of it. like that's what you trick-or-treat.
Yeah. They didn't ask you for candy or anything.
Yeah.
No, yeah, there's no reason.
Yeah.
See, that's why you put out an empty bowl.
And then fuck,
you put a label on it that says, take how many you please.
Or take one, please.
Please take one.
Yeah, please take one.
And then it's not your fault that the whole bowl's gone.
Yeah.
That's
what I always tell my roommate when I smoke our bowls. I'm like, hey, it's not my fault the bowl's gone.
Oh, man. Hey, Mario, how was Sand Canyon coming up?
It was, I mean, I didn't really get to push it because I was like, I might have to take a turn here. So, I was taking it kind of, I'm not sure if you guys heard me coming up.
No, we didn't.
Not really.
We just saw you when you pulled up.
I was just cruising. Yeah.
Are you going back down that way?
I'm not sure, like, which way you guys came.
We actually came from that way.
Opposite way.
Oh.
So if you thought, no, Sand Canyon was, like, hard to turn, just go down Little Tujunga. That's even, like, worse.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, that is what we're here for. And, it's an interesting thing, though. Mario coming up from Sand Canyon, we came up from Little Tujunga. Sand Canyon is only about 2 to 3 miles long in total. But I would say only about a mile of it is actually, like, worth driving through.
Yeah, there was a lot of straights, and I obviously took advantage right there. there was quite a few straights right there, and I also noticed a few, like, almost like little neighborhoods.
Yeah, there's a couple estates, but I think they're all for sale since they all kind of burnt down last year.
Oh.
Because of the Sand Canyon fire. So.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of estates I think that are just for sale. And the thing is, with Sand Canyon, if you're driving down from the top, if you just go straight down Sand Canyon, you'll eventually just hit the 14. And the 14,
yeah,
of course.
That's where I came from.
I figured that. And also right next to the Sand Canyon, it's another little toge that I also just wrote about, Placerita Canyon. It's a nice, I guess, little road. All use I can ever see for that, it actually connects Sand Canyon Road to the 14, so it actually just connects the 14 to itself.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I just took.
You actually took Placerita Canyon?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you might have noticed those huge-ass straights there. Like.
Yeah. And there's, like, this little part that hugs, like, the canyon.
Yes.
And that's I guess that's the toge part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, bend a little bit, but there's a lot of straights where you can just, Mario here can just put his Firebird in, like, full power.
You want to go drag race after this?
Yeah. All right, first
definitely
of all.
An American road.
It's a Camaro. Huh? It's not a Firebird, it's a Camaro.
Oh,
As Camaro? You guys all know, I'm a Chevy guy.
Likely story. I saw you in that Ford today.
Oh, no. You'll never catch me alive in a Ford.
You want to take a bet? I'll bet you money that I'll catch you alive in a Ford.
You'll only find me in a Ford if I'm in the trunk.
Like, so riding Mexican, I got it.
Wow, man, that's racist.
I'm gonna organize a Ford hearse for you.
What, like an Econoline's gonna pull up and like the fucking, like the door's just gonna swing open and a bunch of guys are gonna put a sack over my head and get me in there?
Yeah.
No, we're gonna get a dually. Ford
an F-450?
No, we're just going to put you in a Ford Taurus. That's a lot more humiliating.
Rip. We're talking about the 90s one, right?
Yeah. Yes.
The one that looks like it has downs.
Is that the one with, like, the grill, like, the three-slit grill that's on one side?
Dude, that's the car that, like, defines 90s American cars.
Yeah. And the taillights almost look like an FD's taillight, so it's almost forgivable.
It's just bubble and bloaty.
Yeah.
That's how you describe that car.
All right, so how much are they worth and when can I buy one?
Do you have like $200?
Yeah, they're pretty much worth it.
Pretty sure they're all like been traded into Clash for Conkers.
Clash for Conkers, though, yeah. That piece of shit program.
What's it called? Those Tauruses, because, you know...
Cars for kids?
Cars for kids.
Cars for kids.
Anyway, those cars, their transmissions apparently have this proclivity to grenade themselves at exactly 100,000 miles. So the reason we probably don't see them anymore is either they've been, you know, traded in for cash for clunkers, or they just don't work anymore. A fine example of American engine.
Well, you know, that's just typical American
planned obsolescence. Ford.
Yeah, yes.
Ford.
Well,
as a man who drives a Ford for his work, I can openly admit I want to kill myself.
Yeah, dude, the transmissions in Fords are like, I would rather take a dildo in my ass than fucking drive a Ford transmission, to be honest. I drive a Ford shuttle for work, too.
Dude, the Ford transmissions are so bad, Pablo's going to get rid of the one he's got right now and put a Tremec in it.
Oh, God. Yeah, he got me there. And also, I also own a Ford Focus, an automatic. And that was when Ford decided, like, we're going to, like, be hip with it and we're going to put a dual-clutch transmission in it. And right now they're just settling a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, because their automatic cars have clutch issues now. And like almost immediately after I bought the car, yeah, I had to get it replaced. So yeah, that's one of the Achilles heels.
Your Civic has it, or your Civic
Focus. Yeah.
Your Crown Vic has a column shift, right?
Yes, column shift or bust.
So
when are you
going to
fix that?
Yeah, how do you fix that?
So can
you do like a manual column swish?
Well, that's called three on the tree, bro. It was something that was done in like the 50s and 60s.
Right.
But
is that something that you can put into your car or do? Is there manual swaps for your car?
Oh, I doubt anybody does that nowadays. That was, you know, that's something you would find in like a Fairlane or something like that.
Gotcha.
The 50s and 60s.
Because, dude, I was going to say a manual Vic would be like...
Oh, yeah. No, those things are godly. Those are great.
Yeah, with Crown Vics, they never actually came in manual,
yeah.
At least stock.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it's effectively a four-door SN95, and the entire powertrain is almost exactly the same, like the same automatic transmission they had. It's the same engine and the same the rear differential. And one of the things you can do if you want to do a manual swap on the cheap is to pull out a 5-speed transmission from a Mustang from like 98 to 04.
Yeah,
and it'll drop right in. You just have to change the drive shaft length, and you got a manual land barge.
But if you do that, don't you have to change your steering rack?
Because you
basically have a boat steering rack.
Yes.
Your rear end is going to constantly be breaking loose, and you gotta
control because from
that.
It's because it's a boat, you can just clutch kick it around corners. Now that you got manual, all you have to do is sort of kind of steer kind of in the right direction-ish,
yeah.
And then just give it some clutch kicks.
Yeah, let's just
and then, I mean, if you go too much, you just hold the clutch in, and then it'll pull you back.
Let's just take out some pedestrians like that.
If it's got
dude, it's not that much of a Mustang. It's only partly Mustang.
No,
it takes the citizens in the back. It doesn't run them over. Yeah, it takes them.
It takes them in the back after it runs them over.
Yeah, exactly.
In typical Ford fashion.
Typically when they're running away.
Exactly.
While the Bad Boys theme is, you know, playing in the background.
Oh, I'm getting a PA system for this thing, and I'm gonna get like a playlist of, you know, cop songs to play over.
Oh my god.
Every cover version of Bad Boys.
Yeah.
Every cover.
Even the bad ones.
The bad ones especially. Yes. What are you talking about?
The bad ones should be the priority.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, we need songs about donuts.
Yes.
And pigs. Mm-hmm. And bacon.
You need to get, like, sound bites of Chief Wiggum just like, yeah. Like, just it just goes, yeah, like, over the speaker. Yeah.
Oh, so fun story about your Vic. Mm. You want to tell it or you want me to?
Which one?
The In-N-Out story?
I don't even remember that.
Zoku?
You go ahead and tell it because I'm not exactly sure.
When I took your car?
Oh, yeah, that one. So I used to have a PA connected to my CB radio.
You don't have it anymore?
I took it out for an upgrade for the CB radio because I know I'm going to put a PA system in it.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But anyway, you go ahead and tell the story, actually.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, he had a PA system. So me being the mischievous little kid that I am, I see that and I'm like, okay, this thing looks like a cop car. Has the PA of a cop car. Let's go fuck with some people.
Yeah.
So instantly I'm like, you have to let me drive this. He's like, okay, I got to get in. I was like, dude, you're like, obviously. So he hops in, we start pulling out, and immediately there's already, you know, people in a group that's just standing around. So I go right up behind a girl and, you know, start yelling at her from the cop car.
Harassing people in the parking lot.
Literally just harassing people. It was great. We were saying all this funny-ass shit, and then we pulled up behind...
the In-N-Out there in the parking lot.
Yeah. Well, before that, we pulled up... one of our friends pulled up in a Chevy SS.
Oh, yes.
And I pulled up behind him, and I, like, wigged around real quick behind him, and I started talking, like... over the thing, like, you need to pull over right now and stuff. And I guess he and his girlfriend got freaked out, so I pull up right next to him, roll the window down, and we're laughing, and they're like, oh my god, we thought that you were an actual cop. So I'm you know, we're laughing and stuff, so I was like, fuck it, dude, let's go over to In-N-Out and see who we can troll over there. So we go by, there's, you know, a bunch of people sitting, and, well, we were doing, like, I was doing, like, 20 miles per hour or so.
Yeah.
Like. Slam on the brakes. All these people turn around and look at the car. And I go, there's one girl sitting outside, and I look at her. Well, I looked at her. She couldn't see because the windows are tinted. Oops. I go, hey, yo, girl, the back of your head are ridiculous. And then we just pull off, and, like, half of the people there were laughing. Their ass is off. And me and friggin' Pablo the entire time were just cracking up all the way back over.
Oh,
and that's the story of how I want to PA in my car.
Yep.
But that was, I really want to get a Civic, just Crown Vic. I don't know why I always call them Civics. I really want a Crown Vic,
like,
though, just
Civics
to troll
too.
People.
I don't know how you confuse Civic and Crown Vic.
Civic, Crown Vic.
Civic.
Civic, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's just, you know.
Refer to it.
Plus that, and I've been up since 6 a.m., and it is now almost the 24-hour mark in 6 hours. So,
is that how that works? You gotta fix your math, man.
See, that's how fucked up I am, man.
You gotta lay off the devil's lettuce, dude.
The problem is I haven't even touched the devil's lettuce today.
Satan's ass hairs.
Apparently he touched me, though, with that fucking egg.
So you guys already ran it?
Just the uphill, and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, we just came up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we ran the uphill going up. For the most part, though, Pablo went at his own pace because he's driving a boat, for the most part. And it does get into, like...
Yeah, I need a manual transmission.
Manual transmission, yeah. And... it was mostly me and Phantom driving up a pretty well. No, for Phantom's first time, he was able to keep up with me for the most part. But it's nighttime as well, so I actually kind of missed some of the visual markers around here. I almost kind of hit a guardrail coming up here.
Oh, okay. Then I almost followed too.
Well, yeah, we almost both hit the same guardrail.
Yeah, that was great. So we were coming through this one corner, and. It kind of starts bending a little bit sharper towards the end of it. And I see Sonic, you know, I'm following Sonic's lines and stuff, and I see him start sort of drifting out to the right. I was like, okay, he's going to, you know, just use more of the road, and he kind of starts drifting a little more. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm following his line. I'm like, oh, shit, goddammit. So I had to, like, steer in more, but I'm on really crappy front tires. So instead of steering in more, I just got more understeer. And I started shooting out towards the rail, and then I just had to, you know, give a little lift off, get a little lift off overseer going. But... I mean, I kind of shit my pants a little bit. There was a little bit of poop speckles in my underwear after that. For the both of us. I spackled for both of us, man.
Yeah, since I'm kind of knowledgeable with this course, and that's why I'm surprised Phantom kept up with me, because some of the corners, I tend to, like, immediately break hard and immediately make the turn.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So, because I can, since I know it, I acknowledge the steepness of the turn, how far it goes and how what the angle it goes at, so I'm pretty sure that scared Phantom off, because he immediately sees me going, then hard stop, then immediately go into like a corner.
Yeah,
well, that's how racers do it, right? It's like,
yeah,
you should only ever be completely wide open throttle or completely on the brake.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was the one challenge following you up, is some corners I noticed I because, you know, you can only see what you can see.
Yeah,
so I'm just judging based on your drive. I have to judge my speed based on the speed that you take, on top of where you brake, on top of how you enter the corner and everything. So you're, like, hitting these corners hard as shit, and I'm like, I don't want to hit these that hard. So I'm sitting there, like, braking way earlier, trying not to, like, go ham into the corners, and
but
I'm like...
But then you start losing him, and then you have to keep up.
Yeah, and I gotta keep up, so I was, like, trying to keep a good, like, what, car and a half length from you?
Yeah.
The entire time? And then, like, some corners I'd drop it back to, like, two and a half car lengths, just so, you know, that way I'm braking earlier, because I don't know the braking points. I don't know freaking jack shit about this road.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I really like this this road.
Yeah, it's an incredibly fun road, because it has a little bit for everyone, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, Sloths told me earlier that it pretty much has everything it needs. It has a lot of technical turns, it has a lot of sharp corners, it even has a few straights for people who have bigger engines to catch up with lighter cars can throw around the corners.
Good elevation changes.
Yeah, got good elevation changes. It goes both up, then down, then up again, and all.
Yeah, that's what an elevation change is, right?
I'm just describing the exact elevation change.
Yeah.
So it goes up, then down, then up again. And the thing is...
Or down, then up, then down again.
Yeah.
You know, depending on which direction.
Yeah, depending on direction.
Sometimes it goes a little bit of an angle, and then it goes back down, and then it goes
If you're
up
really
again.
Good, you'll be going down, and then you'll keep going down... But you won't be going down on the road. You'll be going down off the cliff. That's the ultimate elevation change. You'll be dropping thousands in seconds.
Now, one of the things, there's you go over a bridge at one point, like halfway up the hill.
Oh, you
do? Like, yeah. and you come down towards it, and it comes back up. And you, like, you bounce over the bridge pretty much, because it's, like, you know, kind of like, you know, crested, right?
Yeah.
But at the very other edge, it's like a hard turn to the left. And like Sloth noticed it when we were coming up. Like, I had a fucking, you know, like, slam on the brakes and, you know, try to bring it around.
Did you almost have another Zoku incident?
No. thankfully, I was, like, cruising it, right? But it's, like, one of those things, like, you can pretty much bury your car in the dirt pile out in that corner. It's it's definitely, like, one of those things, like, you really have to respect the road while you're learning it.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This road doesn't give you much room for error.
Yeah.
None at all.
It's pretty narrow.
It's really tight.
Yeah.
It's a very tight.
Oh, look
tight.
At who's calling.
answer it. Also, I would say at night, this road is really fucking
menacing.
The Hellenic
boy, you're on speakerphone during the podcast.
You're also on speakerphone.
Oh, hello, big boy.
What? Big boy, you want
the $5 sucky sucky?
What are you up to, man?
We're doing the podcast right now.
Fucker.
Say hi to the audience.
Hi, this is Slav and Jesus. Slav and G-Man reporting in.
Oh, Slav and G-Man.
Slav,
where are you guys at? Come up to Little Tujunga.
No way, dude. I'm not going to fucking Mexico right now.
And with that, they can go suck my dick. All right, back to the podcast.
Okay. So, yeah, this road does not leave much room for errors, which is why it's always important not to always push it completely, especially on something like this. However, there's something nice about this road that is, it's a little bit more lenient with the crossing the double yellow, especially at night, because
there's a lot of visibility. Yeah,
yeah, there's an extreme amount of visibility, and there's not actually too many blind corners here either.
There's a few that I noticed, like there's that one corner. I completely was in the double yellows, or over, but it was this really cool corner. It corkscrewed, like, holy crap, the elevation change in it is gnarly, but it, like, you start and it's like a complete 180 degree, but it corkscrews up the whole time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know which one?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and it's like a blind corner right before you get into it, and then a blind corner right as you go out of it, but the whole corkscrew itself is, you know, you can see any car that's coming. You can, like, it's very easy to spot.
Yeah.
So Sonic was leading, and I just popped over into the other lane and just hit kind of more towards the, you know, right into the center of it, because it was such a, the elevation change in the way that the road was, cambered off. I mean, it just wanted to throw you into it, so I just had, you know, I had to.
That's one of the things. Like, there's not a lot compared to, like, say, like GMR or something like that, but there are a couple of off camber corners that, like, wants to slide you off the other side of the turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about, like, Live Oak is as short as it is, there's a few corners that if you hit it with any amount of speed, you're likely going to die because it just throws you out of the corner.
Or you're going to drift.
Yeah, or you're going to drift.
No, die. You're going to die.
Take it for someone who almost died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you have guys like Borg who drifts it.
Dude, I was behind him when he did that, and that was some of the... I was sitting there shitting my pants. I was like, dude, he's about to die. He's about to die. And then he just pulls a straight up, like,
apparently,
drift god, just all-wheel drive, just full on... just takes off. I was like, yes, bro.
Rally style.
It was full rally, dude.
Yeah, but
it was
apparently
great.
That was, like, life-changing to him, because, like, now he, like, totally respects that. Like, he doesn't push it there anymore.
Dude, yeah, he doesn't push the whole road anymore. He doesn't push any road anymore since that. But specifically, I've always maintained that I will not push that corner.
Yeah.
That corner, to me, is a 65-kilometer-an-hour. A 65-kilometer-an-hour corner. I won't push it more than that just because every time I've seen somebody push it more than that, bad things have happened.
It's just
not worth the risk.
It's just because of how, like, it's not necessarily how it was designed, but it's like, it's a kind of a loose corner first, and so, you know, you're going, you know, at speed, right? But then immediately after, there's a tighter corner right after that, but since you're still, like, coming out of the first corner, you can't brake. And
yeah.
Because you can't brake, you're going to have to, like, either overcorrect or, you know, go into the fucking ditch.
And then on top of that, the entire outside of that corner has just loose dirt and stuff, and... people all the time, almost every time that we've ran it, somebody has at least hit the dirt there. And because of that, more dirt gets thrown up onto the road, which makes it more slick for everybody. It's just, it's a corner that's not worth the risk.
That reminds me of another topic, actually relating to Live Oak, but this is really something for all roads that you drive that, you know, tends to be, like, near people.
Yeah.
I mean, you always have to respect the fact that you're, you know, driving through their residential area, right?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, while it may be moderately safe, like, it's still, like, you know, people don't take lightly the fact that you're, you know, blowing through their backyard, right?
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago, there was this when we were scouting it out, we noticed that there was a bunch of gravel on the road, and we noticed that the gravel was right next to a driveway. And, like, you know, when we stopped, you know, to try to push, you know, gravel off the road, because it was dangerous because there was other traffic there, too. We noticed that somebody, like, stopped on the side of the road and they, like, burned out and threw all the gravel there, right? So I think it's one of those things where you have to realize that, you know, if you keep going to the same road frequently, eventually people will get tired with you. Like, sometimes you're going to have to, like, you know, increase your repertoire of different roads.
Yeah,
and
it's
you
always
let some
good.
Roads cool down.
Yeah, it's always good to change out roads, kind of change out where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And even if you do frequent it, you want to frequent it at times where there's nobody to bug or disturb, and you want to make sure that you're not being you know, you don't want to be in second gear pinning the red line with a freaking with no exhaust, just running straight headers and just like that's just, you know, you want to respect the road, respect the people, respect everything around, no matter what road it is.
Yeah.
You always want to respect everybody and everything that comes in contact with the road.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's like the share the road with the bikers type sentiment. Everybody uses it. There's no reason to be selfish and, you know, say, hey, it's mine, I can do this and that. Which is another reason why I don't like crossing double yellows, is because at that point you're disregarding
what could be coming around the corner.
Well, not only that, but you're disregarding everybody else's safety and everybody else. You're not respecting everybody else when you do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. To a degree. I mean, depends on, you know. The one thing is, a lot of people, you know, give a shit because we say no crossing double yellows, but it's not a set in stone law, you know, just like any law, there's moral, it's a gray law. Mm-hmm. There's no right and no wrong. It's just, there's a time to and a time not to do things.
Yeah.
So there's corners that are definitely okay to pass on double yellows and stuff, but.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and wrap up tonight's podcast. So I want to thank our sponsor, Audible, who gives us the Scotty Gilmer channel, telling me that Mercedes the worst shit ever to ever buy.
Wait, Mercedes is the worst shit to ever buy?
Yes.
It is.
Okay.
Don't buy it.
Pretty much anything German.
Yeah. BMWs are nice if you maintain them. The trick is getting one that's maintained.
Yeah.
So good luck on that.
And also, I'd like to thank also Audible. Listen, help me listen to the Drift King. I love to listen to his Drift Bible while in the car, while I'm also not drifting in my Sonic.
We drift in your Sonic?
Actually, I can kind of drift in my Sonic.
Can I take it drifting real quick?
No.
Oh.
You just got shut down so hard.
I know.
It does. My Sonic does tend to like oversteer a little bit especially since I control my braking a lot better now.
I noticed that when you were going into corners that you'd get some back end hop. You would hop into the corner, you'd come in. Hot's not the right word, but it's the word that I'm going to use. You'd come in hot, but you're totally under control and everything, and I noticed that. But, like, you'd come in, you'd get the car to, the car would start to oversteer just slightly. Like, not even, like, maybe 5 degrees of that. It would just barely oversteer, and then it would plant itself, and then you would just take off through the corners.
It's the front wheel drive, like, clawing itself out of the corner.
Yeah,
yep. And it was awesome. I loved watching your car go around corners up here.
So thank you, Audible, for sponsoring us.
Yeah, thank you. Also, I'd like to thank one of those lunch boxes that I keep getting in the mail. They keep sending me, you know, a lot of bullshit and stuff. Like, fuck brown rice. I hate brown rice. Stop sending me that shit. It doesn't make me help poop better. Beans does.
Yeah, beans does.
Beans help me poop better.
Yeah.
Wait, so is the lunchboxes Lunchables?
Oh, no, I think it's Lunchables or something like that. They keep sending, you know, they send you a meal every day. You plan out your meal. They give you a couple crackers, maybe some ham, and, you know, stuff like that. It's great stuff right there.
And this came out of nowhere?
Yeah.
What the heck?
I know, right?
So ham and cheese in between two crackers, wash it down with Capri Sun after?
So the list now is thank you, Audible, and fuck Lunchables.
Fuck Lunchables.
We also got to thank Dollar Shave Club. They keep sending me shaving kits, and I just donate them to my local orphanage.
Dude, let's be honest here. My nuts have never been more smooth since I've gotten those Dollar Shave kits.
I admit, those Dollar Shave kits, no... That shave butter on my nuts is heaven.
Dude, it is. It's like icy hot, only 15 times better.
I made the mistake of dropping the beard vitamins on my pubes. Things got thick.
Are they luscious now? Can we see them real quick?
Yeah.
Let's compare pubes.
The patchy.
Let's see whose are better.
It's not as patchy anymore.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
And it's got some extra curl.
Oh.
Okay, well, that's it for tonight. Thank you for tuning in for the third episode of California Tailgate. If you like it, subscribe, like, do all those things, share social media, all that bullshit. Catch you next time.
Bye.
Have a great time.